lifting the hair from the napes of their necks, making their sinuses tingle, turning every woodsy shadow into a watching face, as if a multitude had gathered here to watch them play out a crucial scene in their drama. "I know how you feel, but it matters," Eddie insisted. "Believe me, it does. Suppose, for instance, we were to grow fast enough to buy out North Central Positronics before it can rise as a force in this world. Roland, we might be able to turn it the way you can turn even the biggest river with no more than a single spade up in its headwaters, where it's only a trickle." At this, Roland's eyes gleamed. "Take it over," he said. "Turn its purpose from the Crimson Kings to our own." "Yes, that might be possible. Whether it is or isn't, we have to remember that we're not just playing for 1977 or 1987, where I came from, or 1999, where Suze went." In that world, Eddie realized, Calvin Tower might be dead, and Aaron Deepno would be for sure, their final action in the Dark Tower's drama, saving Donald Callahan from the Hitler brothers, long finished. Swept from the stage, both of them, into the clearing at the end of the path, along with Gasher and Hoots, Benny Sleichman, Susan Delgado, Kala Callahan, Susan, Susanna, and the TikTok man, even Blaine and Patricia. Roland and his quartet would also pass into that clearing, be it early or late. In the end, if they were fantastically lucky and suicidally brave, only the Dark Tower would stand. If they could nip North Central Positronics in the bud, they might be able to save all the beams that had been broken. Even if they failed at that, two beams might be enough to hold the tower in place. The Rose in New York, and a man named Stephen King in Maine. Eddie's head had no proof that this was indeed the case, but his heart believed it. "What we're playing for, Roland, is the ages." Roland made a fist and thumped it lightly on the dusty dashboard of John Cullum's old Ford and nodded. "Anything can go on that lot, you realize that? Anything. A building, a park, a monument, the National Gramophone Institute, as long as the Rose stays. This guy Carver can make the Tet Corporation legal, maybe working with Aaron Deepno."
"Yes," Roland said. "I liked Deepno. He had a true face."
Eddie thought so too. "Anyway, they can draw up legal papers that take care of the Rose. The Rose always stays, no matter what. And I've got a feeling that it will. 2007, 2057, 2525, 3700. Hell, the year 19,000. I think it'll always be there, because it may be fragile, but I think it's also immortal. We have to do it right while we have the chance, though, because this is the key world. In this one, you never get a chance to whittle a little more if the key doesn't turn. In this world, I don't think there are any do-overs." Roland considered this, then pointed to the dirt road leading into the trees, into a forest of watching faces and singing voices, a harmonium of all that filled life with worth and meaning, that held to the truth, that acknowledged the white.
"And what about the man who lives at the end of this road, Eddie? If he is a man?"
"I think he is. And not just because of what John Cullum said. It's what I feel here." Eddie patted his chest above the heart.
"So do I."
"Do you say so, Roland?"
I do. Is he immortal, do you think? Because I've seen much in my years and heard rumors of much more, but never of a man or woman who lived forever.